Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know there's a secret place to expand your mind? A place to escape the same old negative news? Welcome to Colombo Chronicles Live with Rose Colombo, award-winning author, cable TV and radio host, poet, and advocate for justice. Rose has been seen and heard on local and national TV and radio. She's consulted with victims of injustice for more than 20 years. Her articles have been published in major and local newspapers and magazines. Listen live as Rose Colombo welcomes prominent authors and experts to her podcast every Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. Pacific Time at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles. You can call in and ask questions at 646-564-9742. Follow Rose Colombo every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. on Colombo Chronicles Live at blogtalkradio.com/Colombo Chronicles.
Colombo Chronicles Live. Colombo is on their trail. Listen up at Colombo Chronicles Live.
Hi, everyone. It's Wednesday, and this is the Rose. Rose Colombo right here for you on Colombo Chronicles Live. And it is noon out here on the West Coast. Lunchtime, so take a break if it's noon or snack time for you. Grab a hot cup of coffee or a smoothie, sit back and enjoy learning how to empower your brain. Because today we have a dynamic guest. Her name is Olympia LaPointe, and she is hailed as the new Einstein by her fans and named the modern-day hidden figure by People magazine. Olympia LaPointe is an award-winning rocket scientist and celebrity author who is helping audience overcome fear and science. Her personal story and trailblazing faith, she may share some of that with us. And she has been seen by 21 million viewers on TV programs and online through her TED Talk, Olympia LaPointe, who helped launch, get this, 28 space shuttle missions to space. Now that is quite an achievement for a young lady and for any female, exactly, right? It's amazing. She is amazing. Today she is a celebrity author featured in USA Today, People Magazine, Newsweek, and she's been seen regularly on CBS News, NBC News, and Thrive Global. Olympia LaPointe's self-help science educational book series has won awards, and its content has generated fans across the world. She shows you that you can, yes, you can, program your brain, your mind, at any age to find the answers for the world's future. And boy, do we need this information. Our brains are going crazy today. There is so much information, and there is so much controversy. You really need to be alert and have your brain active, because it requires your research and your own homework and listening to both sides of the aisle so that you can come to your own informed decisions today for yourself and your children and your grandchildren and the future of this world, because there is a lot of controversy going on. My brain is going constantly overwhelmed like everyone else's brain. So this information is extremely important. So we can clear our minds along with deep breathing. And guess what? Deep breathing is something I do every morning during the day and before I go to bed. And I'll tell you, since I have been doing that regularly, I've done it, but not regularly, but for the past 3 months, I have been faithful to doing this every morning, getting up, looking at the flowers, talking to the plants, and deep breathing and getting a little sunshine if it's out there, because that is healthy. and that is very healthy. If you don't have a pet, you can talk to your plants, because everything has energy. Everything in the world has energy, including us. So we have electric magnetic energy, but it won't happen unless we ignite it. And that's what our show is all about today. Olympia LaPointe is going to teach us how to unleash our brain power. And the name of her book, her latest hot book off the press, is Answers Unleashed 2. And we're going to visit with Olympia LaPointe right after this important message. So don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.
Howdy, folks. Just stopped in by my favorite restaurant, the Horseshoe Cafe. I highly recommend the home-cooked hot meals and piping hot coffee. In fact, it reminds me of my mom's home cooking when I was growing up. The customer service is excellent. Be sure to save room for the world's best desserts. Make sure you try a slice of fresh homemade pie. The Horseshoe Cafe is located at 154 East 4th Street in the heart of Benson, Arizona. The Horseshoe Cafe is right outside of Tombstone, Sierra Vista, and Tucson. Sometimes Patty and Mike stop by to welcome you. The staff at the Horseshoe Cafe looks forward to seeing you. Stop by to eat or relax. Cool down in the desert with a cold beer or your favorite cocktail. That's the Horseshoe Cafe. Oh, and don't tell anyone I told you, but some people think it's haunted. One thing is for sure. Be sure to bring your appetite.
Keeping up with the news these days is like keeping up with the car... Well, you get the idea. There's a lot of yelling and screaming. Intelligent discussion, not so much. Ready for something refreshing, thought-provoking, and friendly? Okay, grab your favorite hot or cold drink, sit down, and listen to a friendly voice. The Columbo Chronicles Live with Rose Columbo on Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday night at 8 on the West Coast, or 11 for anyone sleepless on the East Coast, Rose Columbo welcomes dynamic authors and experts on a myriad of human interest topics. From politics to love, the environment, the mafia, healthcare, and more. It's 60 minutes of original entertainment and intriguing information with the top VIP guests. Senator John DeCamp exposing the Franklin cover-up. Dr. Tony O'Donnell, the herb doc. Dr. Alan Keyes discussing the White House. So, from Rose Columbo's home on the Columbo Chronicles Live to your home, Columbo says she doesn't want to have to send the familia to make sure you are listening.
Columbo Chronicles Live. Columbo is on their trail. Listen up at Columbo Chronicles Live.
That's right. Listen up, because we have our dynamic guest with us right now, and we're going to welcome her in just a second. I told you a little bit about her background. But, you know, she's hailed as the new Einstein by her fans. That is amazing. And she's named the modern-day hidden figure by People magazine. So why don't we say hello to this award-winning scientist, author, and TED speaker of the talk, Reprogramming Your Brain to Overcome Fear, and the author of her latest book, hot off the press, Answers Unleashed 2. Hi, Olympia. How are you today?
I am well. How are you doing? It's good to talk to you again.
It's always good to talk to you. You know, it's so mind-boggling today with all the information and facts and misinformation and opinions. And, I mean, it's everywhere, you know. And so the age of communication is just every which way you can imagine, beyond our wildest dreams. But, you know, Olympia, myself included, get overwhelmed because I do a lot of research. I've been doing research for 30 years on injustices and legal abuses, and won many awards like yourself, but in a different field. So your information is extremely important to me and people like me who are concerned about ourselves, our families, and all of this communication that's happening and trying to, you know, control our everyday lives with a pandemic and this and that and the other and all these new demands and mandates made on us. So your information is extremely and timely today. So I wanted to ask you, because your book that is extremely interesting, Answers Unleashed 2. How can your book, you know, The Science of Attracting What You Want, where you define a new decision-making science theory called quantum deciding, applicable to ourselves, the everyday person, and what do you mean by quantum deciding?
Oh, this is such a great question. And yes, we are at the perfect time to talk about my new book, Answers Unleashed 2, and what I talk about in it called quantum deciding. This book, Answers Unleashed 2, deals with how to jump into the future that you want, then come back and make the six decisions to get there. And the only way that we actually will feel peace moving forward is if we define the future that we want to go to clearly, and we make decisions to get there. And I talk about six key decisions that deal with our faith, our identity, our intent, how we learn, our resources, and how we love ourselves and others in time. And these six type of decisions that we make in these areas literally change our life, and it builds us the path to the future that we want. I originally created this book to help people understand that there's no secret to having something great happen in your life. It's no secret. Actually, what it is your decision. Your decisions alone will create the life in which you want to live. And I'm really passionate about this because I had to live this concept in my own life. I grew up in poverty, and I grew up in difficult situations. And if you watch my TED Talk, you know about what I when I was young and all the crappy things that anyone would go through and would find traumatic and triggering. But in every single case, I had to reclaim my future. I had to reclaim what I saw for myself. I had to reclaim what others saw for me, which was positive. And in doing so, it helped me reprogram and rewire my own thinking so I was going to change my life. And I write about this process in my latest book, Answers Unleashed 2, The Science of Attracting What You Want. And I also share about this in virtual TED-like talks that I give online for colleges and organizations to change the way that they think so they actually can develop that innovative future that they're looking towards. For me, I had a couple of different futures in front of me in my area. I could have gone into poverty again. I could have dropped out from high school. I could have gone into gang violence, or I could have become a rocket scientist. And that was from a field trip that I had when I was 6 years old to the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, where I realized I loved science. So I had those different futures in front of me, but I had to, through my decision, pick one of them. You see, we each in front of us have several different futures in front of us, and that's what I call quantum. We right now have multiple futures that we can choose from, but per Einstein's theory of relativity, we can only exist in one of them. So why not pick the one that you want? So my book talks about picking the future that you want, and then getting there through the six decisions that I lay out.
Well, what do you think about this question then? If it's something you want, but what if it's not something that is possible based on economics and home conditions, like you said, for young people to know what they want? So how can young people decide if they're in a situation like that, what they want? Do they put it out in the universe?
Well, that's a very good question. Yeah, it's actually not putting it out in the universe. It is a decision. And let me break that down. I'm a very spiritual person in addition to being very scientific. And I don't care what your background is or your spirituality. Every single person has the ability to master their free will and make decisions for their best future. And I personally believe in God, and I truly believe that with God, anything's possible. And I think that sometimes what we shoot and aim for sometimes seems like it's almost impossible, but when we're aiming towards it, there's several great things that come out of our decision-making process when we move towards it, even if it, even if it seems impossible. Perfect example, the probability of a woman of color going into the rocket science fields was 1 out of 31,000. 1 out of 31,000. Let me put that into perspective.
Wow.
You have a better chance of being hit by lightning twice before being a woman of color going to become a rocket scientist. So if scientifically speaking, if you look at that situation, it was almost impossible for a person like myself, poverty, to be a young woman, and a person of color to actually go and to become a rocket scientist. It was statistically impossible. But this is where how beautiful this is. I still shot for it. I still shot, if you, no pun intended, I still shot for the moon. I still went towards.
Well, you need to get a hold of Elon Musk and the space. <Bezos. laughs>
Yeah,
that
I
would
still
be a group.
Went for it. I still went for it. I had no idea I was going to actually do it, but I still went for it. But then I didn't realize that that wasn't all I was going to do. I realized that my years in being in aerospace was just nearly a decade. But what I learned to do in making the decisions to get there, that same toolbox of thinking was what I needed after I left aerospace. Afterwards, when I started my company, afterwards, when I created a book publishing business, afterwards, when I wrote a series of books, afterwards, when I went to speaking in front of live stages with 6,000 people from artificial intelligence and in global technology forums, it was that preparation and that decision-making process that I used to become a rocket scientist. That same decision-making process is what I label and lay out in this book so anyone can become 1 out of 31,000 and they can beat their own odds with whatever it is that they do. Now, whether or not you'll do it, only you and God is the person to figure that out. But what I lay out is this plan for you to start making the decision so if you don't get there to what it is that you want, you'll get to better.
Well, that is fantastic, and that's great advice, and more people should take advantage of it because most people have obstacles, some worse than others, some better than others, and no one's on, has the same obstacles because everybody's an individual, but some obstacles that seem like you can't overcome, actually using quantum deciding appears to be that, yes, you can do it. So you define the math that explains how a person can jump into the future that they want, then come back and make these six decisions. So how can a person use math plus the quantum deciding for a person to jump into the future?
That's a great question. There's six decisions that we make, and I'm going to lay out these so everyone can really just use this. You actually don't have to know the math. Now, me being a scientist, anytime I make a statement or have a theory, I like to have the math to back up my statements. I like the data. I like the facts. I like the numbers. I like the science. Anything that I say, I want to be able to back it up. So for me to be able to say this, I had to back it up with the science, and I had to develop this own science and this mathematics to prove what it was that I'm saying. And I'm happy because I created a new math to do it. But you don't even have to know the math. All you have to do is know the decision. So I'm going to lay out the decisions. And audience, if you're listening, I want you to grab a pen. I want you to grab a piece of paper. I want all of us to write down these decisions because these decisions are literally going to change your life. All right, so I'm going to wait a couple of seconds. I know there's some listeners out there that are running for the pen. I can see you right now. You're picking up the pen and it doesn't work. Get another one because it's going to work. Get that piece of paper because what we're going to write down, what we're going to hear is something that's going to be life changing. All right,
I've got my pen.
All right. The first decision, here's the first decision. Decide that you are living for a great purpose. decide that you were living for a great purpose. Okay, let me break
this
down.
That.
Yeah, each one of us is here for a reason that we are every single day finding out. As long as we are alive, every single day, we're going to be finding out why we're here on this earth. And I'm a firm believer that every single person has a unique gift that they're going to give this earth, and there's no one else on this planet that can do it except you. That's the reason why you're here. And so you have to make that decision to actually decide that gift. Share your gift. Do whatever it is that you are great at doing that no one else can do. But it's a decision to do that. Once you make this decision, this activates your faith. This faith is literally an electromagnetic field, mathematical scientific field, according to my quantum deciding theory. Once you make that decision, you activate a field around you that actually starts attracting opportunities to show how you are changing this world, to show how you are sharing your gift, to show the opportunities that allow you to be a change maker. But it just requires you to making that decision. Once you make the decision, it's not just a one-time decision. It's like you wake up every day and go, I'm here for a reason. I decide I'm alive for a reason. I'm going to find out why today. And it's just that everyday decision. I'm going to find out the reason why I'm alive. I am here for a reason. I'm going to find out how I'm going to get my gifts today. And it's that decision that literally activates an electromagnetic field around anyone. So they start finding their purpose. The second decision, okay, this is a cool one. You have to decide who you're going to be. Decide who you're going to be. List out three qualities that you want to be. For me, I always want to be courageous. For me, I always want to be healing. No matter what type of situation I'm in, I want to be able to heal myself and help facilitate other people healing in their mind and their body. And the third decision is I'm going to be someone who is an overcomer. I'm going to be courageous, I'm going to be healing, and I'm going to overcome. That's me. Everybody has their own. What is yours? Decide to be that. Now, once you decide to be that, then you're going to be challenged. And you're going to be brought into situations where you're going to have an opportunity to show that you are that way. The perfect example. If it's a woman and she's gone out with not the best marriage-minded men before in the past, and she makes a decision, I am a woman who is going to be a wife, let's just say. Let's just say she makes that decision. So then she's going to be, she's going to have opportunities where men are going to come to her, and she's going to have the opportunity to present herself as who she wants to be. If she wants to be a wife, then she is going to present herself in a situation. Let's say an example where she comes across a guy that is not interested in her for long term. She has to make that decision, go, I am interested in this. I'm interested in a long-term situation. If you don't have the same type of concept, that's great. We can be attracted to one another. But it's best that we go our separate ways because I am looking at this. So she will be given opportunities to define who she is. And that can be for anybody. Once you decide who you want to be, triggers the universe to start presenting you with opportunities to make the decision to confirm that.
That's very interesting to me. I'm sorry, excuse me, but that just triggered a memory that I had a friend, and she was very beautiful, and she actually made up a resume. And she would meet these guys through the dating sites and meet them in coffee shops. And she went through the list, and she did say, you know, I'm looking for a permanent mate and this, that, that. And she went through and asked questions and had them checked off. And she was, interviewing these guys. Would that fit into what you – or is that an extreme?
Well, it all depends on the person. Everyone has their own history. Everyone has their own concern. There's nobody that can live your life except you. So knowing that, you have to decide what you truly want. And if you want to be, in her case, she wanted to be a wife. Then she was serious about it. She made decisions about the men in her life who could be with her in that same decision-making process. So I don't know her background. Only she does. But she made the decision in her life to move forward towards that particular future. So more power to her. If that's what she wanted, that's what she did.
Yeah, it seems to me it's like someone who finally decided, in her case, that I'm not going to just settle, and this is somebody that's going to be permanent in my life, so I'm going to try to get the honest answers I'm searching for to be like a partner with me so I can, like, move ahead and help her move in her direction and not become a lot of, I think a lot of people, because this goes into your brain power too, I think a lot of people don't really know their partners. They just, you know, they're handsome, they're strong, or she's beautiful, and of course the chemistry's there, and boom, bang, they're having fun, and they get married. And this is another reason I'm stressing this, is because there's so much divorce. It's like 40 to 70% of divorce in America now, depending on the year and the economics and children and, you know, financial conditions. So do you think that for people who are looking for a spouse, that this quantum decision fits into this arena as well? And should be
100%.
So many people don't know each other, and you can be tricked very easily.
100%. My book is going to help anyone at any point in time in their life. And the way that we define and pick our future is by making decisions. And so it sounds like my intuition is telling me that your friend, when you tell me this story, it sounds like she made the decision that she was worth being invested into for her future. And she started making decisions with people that were willing to invest in her future too. And I think that's an important thing to lay out here, because she recognized who she was. She was a person that was designed to be invested into. That brings us to the third decision. The third decision is, you have to make the decision that you're going to impact your environment, and you have to have an intent. You have to make a decision to have positive intent everywhere that you step. You can be working at a really horrible job, still there for a reason. And instead of letting the job break you down, how about you enhancing where it is where you are? So often we think that situations define us and situations are make or break us, but really it's the other way around. We make or break it. Sometimes we're in situations to shed light on things, and we may not be in situations for a long term, but we're there for a reason, and whatever reason we are there, it's our job to actually show up, be who we are in it. And in doing so, we naturally change the situation simply by our presence. And whenever it's time for us to leave, we're going to go to the next situation and do the same thing. But in the interim, our job is to decide what is our intent in this situation, in this relationship, in this job, in this health situation. What is my intent? When you decide that you're going to impact a situation instead of it impacting you, that's when you regain power, and that's when you start deciding the future that you want.
And does that include, like, looking at why am I in this position?
It's more like, what am I learning from this? And that brings us to our fourth decision. It's like, when you're in a situation, there's something for you to learn. And that's the fourth decision. It's, what am I going to learn? I'm going to decide to learn the truth and throw out the fake news.
Okay.
That's actually the fourth decision.
Cool.
In decision three and decision four and decision five kind of go hand in hand, and I'm going to break this down.
Okay.
Decision three is like, it's like you being rooted to the earth, you impacting every step that you take. Anywhere that you step in an environment that you're in, you change it. That's your decision. And you change it through a multitude of ways by knowing that you have gifts and what you have to bring to any situation, knowing who you are in a situation. And then when you step into any environment, you then, by simply deciding to be there, you change it. You change it simply by choosing to be there. Anywhere that you go in life, you choose to go there. And it's your fate is partially decided by you. I'm a big believer that things happen in systems, meaning you're a part of something that you never thought that you'd be a part of, like all of us are part of a pandemic, which we never thought we'd be a part of, but we're here. But our decisions in the pandemic define who we are becoming, and it defines how we're going to change the pandemic situation. For example, people beginning the pandemic, how everyone stayed inside and made sure that they were keeping the people safe in the pandemic was a way for us to shift the situation. Even though we were in it, our decisions shift the situation that we're in. In this, in the fourth decision of deciding to know the truth and throw out the fake news, there are so many times in which we in our entire life are going to be thrown false statements because we don't know. We don't know what the truth is. Perfect example, there was a lot of false statements sent on the media about the pandemic and the vaccines and everything else like that. And then governmental officials later on found out that there was a lot of fake news sent by foreign countries to be able to throw people off of the science and be scared of the science. And so in that case, there was a lot, there was technology officials that had to go through and completely scrub down websites that had fake news on it. They literally had to throw out the fake profiles, throw out the fake news, throw out the fake data, and they're still in the process of doing that. Meanwhile, it was our job to actually find out what the truth was. Like, wow, this is a new vaccine. The mRNA is a new vaccine. And, oh, it hasn't been used before. But what is the data? What is the true data on it to show how effective it is? And so this is part of the science, learning the truth. Like, what is the data showing us? What is the true data? How is the data giving us information about what's truly happening? And when we start looking at the data and start looking at the facts, then it becomes easier for us to move out of fear and start throwing out that fake news and throwing out the things that stop us from making great decisions. When we start embracing the truth and make the decision, I am going to learn the truth and throw out the fake news, and I'm going to act on the truth, that's when we are empowered. For me, I had to learn the truth about the pros and cons about the different vaccines. There's statistical studies and information right now saying that there's certain people who are more immune compromised that the vaccines work well on, but then they need an extra boost, and that's been seen by the different world health organizations and the CDC and the FDA and the governmental organizations are sharing facts. Now, it's our job to read through the facts and make our own decisions. No one in your life is going to make a decision except you, but it's your job to read through the information, know the truth, so you can make a decision that's right for you. No one else can make a decision that's right for you. Only you can do that. And that's fourth decision.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, because we only have one body, one mind. It belongs to us. God gave it to us, and it's unique, different than everybody else. No two people actually think identical, and we may agree on things, but we also disagree on things, and that's why God made us unique. And so it really is up to us, because there are people who are have allergic reactions to chemicals and vaccines, and they could die or they could become seriously injured. So it's very important for people to look at everything. I mean, I try to read everything myself, and but, you know, it comes at you so fast. There's so much information. and you can only do so much, you know. But it's, at least
it's that decision. It's that decision to learn.
Yeah, and but it's worth it to me to be able to know and make my own decision, not have some government person telling me that I have to do this or I lose all my freedom. And so I'm being a person, you know, that has researched the law and injustices and proposed laws that were implemented in the United States and California. I am very, very concerned when the government starts mandating and making our decisions for us about our bodies, and they are not our doctors with our confidential information. Right.
That should be between
a person and their doctor, you know, not
everybody
by the
has
government.
Their own decision-making process. Everybody
I
has their own decision-making
that.
Process. But we
100%.
Have to own our learning process. We have
exactly.
to own it. We have to decide to put time aside to find out. I went through a gigantic, gigantic surgery, and it was very rough. And I had several options in front of me. And part of the reason why I wrote this book was I had a major surgery I had to do to learn the truth about my body. I thought I could have children. I literally thought I could be married and have a child and give birth. When I found out the facts, it was when the surgeon did an MRI to find out if I ever had any child, I was going to lose my life. And it was that truth where I realized, what am I going to do? I'm now faced with the truth. What am I going to do to ensure my health in the future? What am I going to do? Everyone's body is different. Everyone's situation is different. Everyone's decisions are different. And so my decision would be different than somebody who was able to have children. My decision was completely different because we walked in two different shoes. We had two different bodies. We had two different minds. And we had two different facts according to the situation based on our experiences. So I can never, ever tell someone what to do. I am not ever going to do that. What I'm going to do is tell you what I went through so someone can make a decision for themselves.
Yes, that's excellent. I believe that's the best way to go, and how more people listen, because you're not telling them what they have to do with their body and mind. But this is helping people to open up their minds and expand it by reading your book, Answers Unleashed 2, and learning about these six tips and so much more. So now we're on to number five, are we?
Yes, yes, yes. I love how you're keeping this count. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I just want to make sure my notes are correct.
And those of
I mean,
you who are listening,
I've never had a rocket scientist on my show and teaching people, you know, how to use their brain to the best advantage they can to be better people and to leave their mark in the world, because everybody has a story, you know. So yeah, I'd like to share this information too. So go ahead.
Thank you. And I love sharing it. And if you want to find out more, you can always go online, answersunleashed.com/book3. You can find it online or go to my website, answersunleashed.com, or my main website that was just done, olympialapointe.com. You can download and get all the information there too. All right, number five. Here we go. Number five. Decide to take the little that you have and multiply it. Decide to take the little, and I'm going to insert this, little resources that you have and multiply it. And multiply it. We are each given the ability to multiply things. 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2 in math. Did you know that? People are shocked.
No.
1 + 1 does not always equal 2 in math. 1 + 1 can be more depending on the space that you're in. So in mathematics, and actually specifically topology mathematics, 1 + 1 is equal to 2 only in a metric space. But if you're not living in a space where you can count it, 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. It may not be defined, and it may be more. My point is, whatever you have, it can be multiplied. It's only limited.
Like God tells us, in the Bible about multiplying the fish. You know, there was more people than food.
Exactly. In the Bible, there's this beautiful story, and I love it. And it doesn't matter what your background is. You could be Muslim, you can be Christian, you can be Buddhist, but the story is still a beautiful story, and this is how it goes. In the Bible, it has a story where Jesus was there, and he was there, and there was 5,000 people, and they're hungry, and the disciples went over to Jesus and said, "We have to feed all these people. How are we going to do this?" And everybody was stumped. and then young boy, he was young. I don't know how old it said in the Bible, but like the historians will be able to quote the exact age and everything else. But the boy comes over to Jesus and says, "I have this fish and bread. Do you want to use this?" And then Jesus looks at the boy. He's like, "Yes, I'll take it." And so this boy gives what he has. He gives what he has. And it was a simple loaf of bread and some fish. Take this. Feed the world with it. And it was because of the boy's faith. This is really important for people to realize. It was because of the young boy's faith that Jesus multiplied his faith to feed 5,000 people. The young boy taking the initiative to offer what he had. Woo!
Wow, that's a great point.
Woo!
That is amazing.
I'm just getting chills just talking about that.
Me too.
We are each like the little boy. We have something. It's up to us to give it, and it's through our faith and through our decision-making process, the power in which we've all been given, to be able
to multiply it
so it then feeds people.
I truly love that story and the way you told it, because there's been situations, you know, we all have hard times where, you know, I'll be like, you know, seeing somebody, you know, who is in need. You can see they're hungry or whatever. So I just, you know, give them what I have at that particular time and when things were tight, which we all go through. And people with me would say, "Why are you doing that? You know, you don't have money to be giving to everybody." And I said, "Oh, God will provide. Don't worry about it. You know, it's okay, you know." And sure enough, God always provides. I don't care what anybody says. If you believe and have faith, God provides.
It's quantum deciding. Yeah, what I saw is that when we make that decision to give what we have and provide the resources that we have in expectation that it will be multiplied, it's like, it's almost like knowing Jesus is right there with you, and you're giving whatever talents you have to the world, and you know it's going to be multiplied.
Right.
It's your decision to give it. It's your decision to give your own fish and bread. So it's like, all right, I have this time. How am I going to give it to the world? I have these couple of dollars. How am I going to give it to the world? I have this brilliant idea. How am I going to give it to the world? I have this business concept. How am I going to give it to the world? I have this leadership opportunity. How am I going to give it to the world? I have this media opportunity. How am I going to give it to the world? It is that decision to give whatever you have and expect it to be multiplied. And that decision alone creates opportunities for you to keep giving whatever it is that you have so it does multiply. It is an electromagnetic field that is generated, that moves, that rotates around a person with that particular decision, and that electromagnetic field takes in other energy from the outside world that will attract to you for you to continuously multiply whatever it is that you have. And that's how things grow on Earth.
Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, wow. And so I have number 6 here.
Mm-hmm. This is a deep
one. Not going to let you get away here. This is good stuff.
Okay. I having so much fun, by the way. I have so much fun talking with you on the phone, and I have so much fun talking with your listeners. If you're tuning in, check out, share this interview with other people, share the websites that are going to be given. I want you to share this information. All right, the last one, number 6. It is deciding to love ourselves and others in any situation.
Oh, that's a hard one.
And that is
a lot of people I know don't love themselves.
And that is what powers all the rest of the decision. Literally. And now let me break this down. In this quantum deciding, if you can imagine how the world turns, literally, there was like wasn't there a soap opera called As the World Turns years ago?
Oh,
it was
my mother would iron and watch that and never miss it.
Yeah, and even in the movie Superman, if anyone remembers the original Superman with Clark Kent, and it was like 1979, was it, or 1980, where the original Superman movie came. And
I think
Christopher Reeves was the original Superman. The late Christopher Reeves, God bless his soul. He was Superman in that movie. And in the movie, Lois Lane died in an earthquake. She fell in a crack in the earthquake and she died. And he's like heartbroken. He's like, no. And he wondered, was there a way that he could rewind time? And there was in the movie, and this, I'm going to make this really clear for everyone. In the movie, he wanted to rewind time. He loved her so much, he wanted to rewind time and show her his love. So what he did is in this Superman movie, he, at his top speed that he could fly, he chose to fly around Earth the opposite way in which it naturally rotates. And by flying around Earth in the opposite direction that it rotates, he was able to change the course of how Earth moved, and he was able to move Earth backwards. When it was moving Earth backwards, time went backwards, and then as a result, when he finally got the Earth to the point in which was a few minutes before the earthquake started, he rewound time and he flew back down to Earth, and then he saw Lois Lane before the earthquake happened, and he talked to her and he moved her out of the situation so she lived. Okay, now let me break this down. When we think back in time, we literally reverse the way that energy works around us, rewinding itself. Mm-hmm. When we think forward, it's like Earth moving fast forward. And when we think, and when we make decisions right now in the present, everything stands still. When we are able to go back in time and love ourselves and other people, we change time. We change the way we think. And when we go back in our memories and we start seeing ourselves and we see ourselves and we observe ourselves in such a profound way where we love ourselves in time and in the past, that changes the way that our world revolves. And it changes the way that we see things. And it changes the way that we attract things. And more importantly, it changes how we make decisions. When we are able to go back in time and observe ourselves, just like if we were like Superman, able to go back and love ourselves like Lois Lane and just talk to ourselves before all craziness happens and show ourselves the love, we literally change time. We change the way that we attract things in time. Earliest that you can go back in time and coach yourself through those toughest memories and see yourself and actually talk to yourself, that creates a quantum entanglement. So literally the rest of your life is going to be changed, and your future then is changed, so you then pick the future that you want.
That is amazing information. It's absolutely amazing, and it really resonates, I'm sure, with the audience and myself and the world, because what you are saying to me anyway, and my assumption here, is it's all about love.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Everything that powers this entire world, everything that powers the electromagnetic fields around you is all about love. And it's the decision-making process that you have. And that literally powers the world. And you have to love yourself in the past, in the future. You have to talk to yourself in the future. Love yourself in the future. See yourself in the future. And then start appreciating and admiring yourself in the future so you be connected to yourself in the future and connected to yourself in the past. And that is the quantum entanglement that allows you to love yourself at all times in any situation. And that then attracts what you want.
And, you know, it even works with the environment because I buy plants that are on sale that are dying, and I bring them home and nourish them, talk to them, water them, feed them, give them vitamins, and so many of them grow into beautiful plants or flowers. And it just, I do it because it reminds me that, you know, everything needs love. And I talk to them, I touch them. You know, come on, you can live, come on. And, you know, and when they start to bloom and blossom, it reminds me of people, that if we were kinder to people and we visited people and thought of not elderly as disposable and just pull the plug, but as human beings who need to be, you know, talked to and given a pat on the back or a hug or whatever, wherever they are, in their homes or anywhere, or, you know, just friends, whatever. I mean, the same thing happens, doesn't it? Where they start to, they smile, they start to perk up.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I gave a poem that I wrote. It was an award-winning poem, and I just said, oh, what do you think of this poem to this girl? I didn't know she was having problems, Olympia. Before she left, the company I was with, she came to me and she's crying. She says, I cannot tell you how you helped heal me with your poem. I was like, amazed.
Oh.
So
just think about what happens if we write the poem. Yeah, it could be, we can even write the poem to ourselves. We can write the poem to the five-year-old that was going through a tough time in kindergarten. You can write the poem to the infant that was like not having both of their parents there when they were growing up. You can write the poem to your 25-year-old that went through a really bad breakup. You have the ability to write and to care for and to show love to yourself. And when you do that, then changes time. And it changes how you impact situations. It changes how you learn. It changes how you multiply things. It changes how you see yourself. And it changes the way that you have your gifts given to this world. And when we're able to do that with the help of people that love us and care about us, that then changes the world.
Wow. This was an amazing, amazing time with you, Olympia LaPointe. And I am personally grateful. I'm sure the audience is grateful. And now is your time to shine. Please leave any message you like with the audience, because this last one about love is just amazing. And also how they can contact you or any events you have coming up.
Thank you. I'd like to share this message as well as really educate people on how to use their decisions in a way that will help them. I'm interested in speaking to schools, colleges, technical forums, educational institutions, corporations, women's leadership, nonprofit organizations, and to share this message and to give information about my book so people can have my book in their hands so this will change your life. Go to answersunleashed.com/book. 3 for this particular book, and contact me through my website, olympialapointe.com. If you know someone that needs to hear this message, if you know a group of people that need to hear this message, contact me directly so we can come through and help.
That's fantastic. And thank you again. I can't thank you enough, Olympia LaPointe. And I know your future is going to continue to be successful, and you're going to continue to give positive information to the world, and God bless you. And we'll talk to you again.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. And Olympia LaPointe has left the building. Be sure to get her book, Answers Unleashed 2. She also wrote Math Phobia, How to Overcome Your Fears of Math, and Answers Unleashed, The Science of Unleashing Your Brain Power. But her latest book is Answers Unleashed 2. What a fabulous wealth of information and a fabulous guest. And on that note, I'm going to enter into the world of politics, but just briefly to touch on a couple of issues that I thought were important before we close the show. So let's enter into the world of politics briefly here. This was interesting, and it's on Town Hall. Justin Trudeau admits the left will use COVID crisis to gain all kinds of additional powers. During the Wuhan coronavirus pandemic, Canada has turned into a police state. And I know this is true because I have friends in Canada who are isolated, and they are just being treated as hostages of their own country. In the United States, the civil liberties and constitutional rights of Americans have been pushed to the side as simple conveniences or privileges and trampled by power-hungry federal and local governments. And what they're doing, I want to put in my own opinion here, is that they are writing statutes and executive orders, which are mandates out of the White House. Well, executive orders were never intended to make laws. Only Congress can make laws. But they have been using executive orders, which are mandates, to bypass Congress, bypass the Constitution, and deny us freedoms, liberties, and rights, and sovereignty. So I want you to research that and think about that and start demanding that this country is not operated by non-transparent statutes by some director running an agency that denies constitutional rights, freedoms, liberties, and sovereignty, because they swore an oath to uphold, defend, protect, and preserve freedom, liberty, rights, sovereignty, and the safety and health and welfare of the American people, and defend this great country from foreign and domestic enemies, as well as the United States military. And that includes the unalienable right granted by God to have a free will and to make choices for yourself, including your own body, your own mind, and for unborn women to make choices for their baby, because everything that is injected into their bodies goes directly to the babies. And these injections, of course, you need to exercise your own free will and your own free choice and do your own homework. And I'm not anti-vax because I've been vaccinated with approved licensed vaccines in the past and still got the measles, chickenpox, and whooping cough. And so did my siblings and millions of other kids around the world who were vaccinated for over the years. But I'm not anti-vax. Of course, if you're vaccinated, you can't be anti-vax. So that is just a leftist brainwashing tool. So you must remember that until now, a doctor generally tells a pregnant woman, don't even take an aspirin unless, you know, you consult with your doctor. So now the government is becoming our doctor. And they're telling you to go to complete strangers in department stores, pharmacies, markets, and get an experimental and trial injection. And you need to do your homework and your research on these injections, and also which ones cause blood clots that can cause brain injury, heart attacks, strokes, heart inflammation, paralysis, and even death, because I know one person who got two jabs. He died 3 weeks later with the experimental trial jabs. And then I also know someone in my family who ended up in a coma and brain injury for life, can never go home. I know someone else who ended up with a stroke and can't talk after the two jabs. So not everyone should be mandated, or no one should be mandated. Everyone should be able to make their own choice by free will and by free choice given by God at birth, not by men and women who seek power, control, and to make billions and trillions of money for themselves and enslave and put everyone else into servitude around the world by fear-mongering, coercion that borders on extortion, because they want a built-in customer base around the world controlled by New World Order CEOs who are invested in Big Pharma, Pfizer, Moderna, who have allegedly contracts with Israel, USA, and UK for billions of dollars. So do your homework, do your research, and take care of yourself. And if you want to get vaxxed, get vaxxed. But my opinion is do your homework, do your research, and come to your own decision. The government should not be making that decision for us. Everything needs to be in accordance with the United States Constitution and in accordance with the will of the majority of Americans, not under fear that you will lose all your freedoms, you will lose your job, and you will be isolated at work, or you will be demoted, and you will not have an income to provide for the necessities of life, which include shelter, food, water, medical, travel, and work. Those are communist agendas that are should never be acceptable in the United States of America, in my opinion, because they violate human rights laws, they violate the necessities of law, they violate civil rights, and they target specific persons, it appears, and they violate constitutional and civil rights laws. We the people are the government. We elect these people to uphold the Constitution and do the will of the people, not impose the will of public servants upon the people. So on that note, I want to say God bless you, God bless America, God bless law enforcers, God bless everyone, and I just want to offer my condolences to all of the families who lost loved ones, who were in Afghanistan, our troops, our heroes, and also all the people in Afghanistan who were working to help our troops for many years in Afghanistan fight against the tyrannical jihadists and terrorists in those countries and fight for freedom. Freedom isn't lost unless we give it away. So never give up your freedom, liberty, rights, U.S. Constitution to people who are paid with our taxes or people who are invested billionaires in Wall Street seeking to make trillions of dollars and control every individual on the planet and our food supply, our food chain, and our minds, our brains, and our bodies. So talk to you next Wednesday, noon to one. Thank you. God bless you.
Rose Colombo is signing off, and she's left the building. Be sure to bookmark and share Colombo Chronicles Live every Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. on the West Coast. Or if you're sleepless in the big city, that would be 11 to midnight on the East Coast. Rose Colombo says, remember, you're never alone when you tune in every Wednesday to Colombo Chronicles.